Joyful Fellowship with God and Man, Part 10, The Blessing of Fellowship. Sermon on 1 John 5:13 through 21. Everything we do involves some administrative work. We have to make lists, we have to get things done, we have to organize, we have to prioritize. And our society seems to be very, very busy. We always have things to do. People who are retired tell me that they have never been busier than they are retired. They don't know how they did everything before. In the midst of all this busyness, we have to remember what life is all about. Christmas is a great time to remind us. First, it's about joyful fellowship with God. Second, it is about joyful fellowship with man, with other human beings. Christmas refocuses our attention on God. We set aside time from our hustle and bustle and enjoy our family and friends. It's a chance to reset and focus on what is most important. And that's what this letter from John was all about. The goal of this letter, which we call 1 John, is that we might enjoy fellowship with one another and fellowship with God. These two are connected. We cannot ignore one or the other if we want to experience joyful community. In this passage, we have a sort of summary of what John has said in his letter with a few additional concluding thoughts. So let's look at these through the lens of the blessing of fellowship. First, knowing the fellowship. The key problem in our fellowship with God is, how do we know that we can even enjoy fellowship with Him? After all, how can an infinite God have fellowship with human beings? Even if He can, we know that we've not done what He's asked of us or become what we were supposed to be. How can such people have fellowship with Him? We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So how can we know that we can have fellowship with Him? Well, that's one reason John wrote this letter. He said, I write these things that you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. Eternal life here is fellowship with the triune God. It is not just length of life, though that's also included. He writes to those who believe in the name of the Son of God that they might know that they have that eternal life, that fellowship with God. So how can they know it? They know it because of what Jesus has done. This is how God showed His love among us, John says. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might have life through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4:9 through 10. Out of His great love, God has God has done what is necessary to restore our relationship with Himself. And what is necessary for us to do is to accept it and believe in it. That is what John says. Everyone who believes in the Son of God has been born of God. They have life. If we have faith in Jesus, we have this life. So if we know that we have faith, then we know that we can have this life, that we have this life. And everyone who believes has life. We believe, therefore, we have this life. We also know that everyone who believes loves their brother and walks in the ways of God's commands. This doesn't mean perfectly. We sin and then we confess our sin. We sin against our brothers and sisters and then we confess to them. We grow in love, and that's what this is all about. When we see this happening in us, then we know that we have faith. When we know that we have faith, we know that we have fellowship with God, and this gives us greater and greater assurance and greater confidence. That's how John assures us of our fellowship with God. This is something he does not in his own name or with his own authority, but on the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Because this is the way Jesus himself wants to assure us that we have fellowship with him, fellowship with the triune God. So that's amazing news. We can have it and we can know it that we have it. And that leads us then to the second thing, using the fellowship. Now, what is the purpose of knowing we have this fellowship with God? It is to live in fellowship with God. It is to make use of this fact to enjoy fellowship with him. And what does that look like? We ask things of God. Listen to what John says. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. 1 John 5:14 through 15. What God wants us to do is to ask him to do things for us. Now, this may seem like a strange way to build fellowship, but it's not. We often think that we build fellowship by doing for others, and that's true. But we also build fellowship by asking others to do for us. When we ask someone to do something for us, we show that we value them and think highly of them. Love is willing to give, but it is also willing to receive. Recently, I asked someone to give one of my daughters a ride because Melinda and I could not easily make it happen. Well, this person felt honored that I would ask and enjoyed the opportunity to serve. It built community. So we enjoy fellowship with God by asking Him to do things for us. Now note, that's not just a one-way street. God shows that He loves us and values us by asking us to do things for Him. It is not just Him doing for us. And He has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. 1 John 4:21. He loves, He values us and asks us to do for Him. He says, I want you to love the people I love and take care of them. In the same way, He also wants us to value Him and ask Him to do things for us. Now, one thing we should ask about is the needs of others. One way we love each other is that we should be concerned when we see people doing things that are destructive to themselves. That should lead us back to prayer. That's how we show God that we love Him and value His people. John writes, if you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give them life. 1 John 4:16. Pretty amazing thing. God will use our prayers to restore people who are wandering from the fellowship and will give them that fellowship back through our prayers. So why are we not praying? We should love each other such that we desire the best for them. And I would encourage you to have people you're praying for them, that they would enjoy the best that God has for them. It's good to pray for your family. Everyone's concerned about their family. But who in the church and community can you be praying for? Now let me say a quick word about the sin leading to death, which he talks about here. He says there's a sin leading that does not lead to death, and there's a sin that leads to death. Well, it comes from Jesus. He spoke of a sin that cannot be pardoned. John surely knew what it was. And that's probably what he's talking about here when he speaks of the sin leading to death. Now note, he does not say that we know when people have sinned in this way or that we should not pray for it at all. He just says he's not talking about that sin. This sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. He recognizes that some have rejected the faith and will not walk in the way. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about our brothers and sisters who find themselves overtaken in a sin. That should be a key part of our prayers for one another. God will help them. And so we can help them by praying to God for them and on their behalf. That's the privilege and power we have in prayer. Now, one reason that people fall into sin that leads them away from the fellowship with God is because of what John says in verse 19, that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Does that mean that there's no hope for us? No, that's what we want to see in our fourth point, the assurance of fellowship. God is going to keep us. Listen to these encouraging words. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. 1 John 5:18. There is a power working within us, and there is a power working for us. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. The power is given to us by the Son of God Himself. It is a divine power. Listen, we also know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true by being in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. 1 John 5, verse 20. This power and understanding comes from Jesus, who is the true God and eternal life. So He is more powerful than the devil. He has come to destroy the devil's works. We who believe are the ones who have overcome the world and the devil through faith in Christ. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So this is our great hope. If we have that fellowship with God, we will continue in it. We know that we have it now. We know that we'll have it in the future. We may wander, we may make mistakes, we will sin. But there is a power within us that keeps bringing us back and keeps bringing us back and keeps bringing us back. It's the seed of God within us that leads us in the right way. We can be confident as we look to the future that we will be filled with good things. We can be assured of our fellowship with God because God will keep us. Now, we also need to see that we have an obligation on our part, and that's what we're going to see in our fifth point, guarding the fellowship. Does the fact that God preserves us and the seed of God keeps us mean that we just sit back passively? No. We need to work to keep that which has been committed to us. We are to keep ourselves from idols. Idols will destroy that fellowship. John has just said that Jesus is the one true God in the eternal life. He's the one in whom we have life. So we should not seek life in any other. People all around them worshiped idols. They must not go that way. They must seek their life and hope only in the true God, Jesus Christ. And people around us are looking to all sorts of things other than God to give them that happiness, to their work, to their families, to their marriages, to their pleasures, to their church. None of these things will satisfy. If we are to enjoy the blessing of fellowship with God, we must keep ourselves from idols. And note, idols keep us not only from fellowship with God, but fellowship with one another. We all know stories of how addictions, which are a sort of idolatry, destroy relationships. We should also know that when we value people too much, we give them too much weight, then we begin to destroy that relationship. Only God should have the place of ultimate value with us, and we're often looking to get from people what we should be looking to only from God. We should avoid turning our spouse or friends or children into idols. All people should count with us, but none too much. And so, dear children, John warns, enjoy the life God has given you and keep yourselves from the idols that would ruin it. And so, in conclusion, let's just refocus again. What is life all about? Joyful fellowship with God and man. The restoration of that fellowship begins with our relationship with God. If we find ourselves struggling with relationships on earth, then the place to work on them is first with the Father in heaven. The blessing of fellowship with man flows out of our relationship with God. So we've always got to keep that first. And it's a pleasure to do so. Nothing is better than enjoying God's love and loving Him back. We have the assurance of His acceptance through Jesus Christ and of our growing love for God through the seed of God and the atoning work of God within us. So let's make enjoying that fellowship our key priority. That's what will set things right with the world. Then let's make every effort to love those around us. Love flows out of faith, but that doesn't mean that we're passive. The Spirit uses our efforts and the encouragement of the Word and of others to enable us to love. The goal of the love we receive from God is always an outflow of our love to others. It is the joyful fellowship of God and man. And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down for his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. 1 John 3:16. So may it be. Amen. Now receive this blessing. At this time of year, we celebrate the glorious way in which God showed us His love by sending His Son into the world. This is how God showed His love among us, John says. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son, and it's an atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4:9 through 10. This calls for us to do things. First, remember what God has done for you. Let it be your guiding light throughout this week. And second, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is our mission in the world. This is what the new birth empowers us to do. There is a power at work calling us back again and again to God's love received so that we might give it to others. And so may the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit grant you His grace to make an impact through that love in the community around you. We go into the world to serve the Lord Christ. Amen.